You know how it is, you want to get right to the heart of something, like really understand a topic, but without wading through tons of information.
Absolutely.
Well, today we're taking that kind of deep dive into the doctrine of God. Who do we believe God is? And how does the world around us, the modern world we live in, shape that belief?
Yeah, we're going to be drawing specifically on some insights from Dr. Robert A. Peterson's Theology Proper, Session 1, Cultural Context. And what I find really fascinating here is that he unpacks how our culture, our environment, influences something as core as our understanding of God.
Okay, so our mission today is pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
How does modern and postmodern culture impact how we see God? What are some potential distortions that crop up because of these cultural pressures? And ultimately, how can we get a clearer, maybe more authentic understanding of God's true nature?
Right.
Okay, so right away, Peterson makes this pretty bold statement. He says that the doctrine of God is foundational, maybe even more foundational than the doctrine of Scripture.
Right.
Why does he make such a strong statement?
I think what's important here is the errors that he sees in our modern time. He's concerned about that. Hmm. And he's concerned that sometimes we overemphasize God's love.
Okay.
And that in doing so, we might downplay other aspects of God's character, like his holiness and justice, which can lead to an unbalanced view of God and how he relates to the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And to us, too.
Okay, so here's where things get super interesting, I think. This is for you listening. Peterson talks about this tension between the biblical idea that God stands before us,
right,
that he summons us outward to know him,
right,
versus like this cultural pull to look inward, to find God within ourselves.
Right, right.
So how do these approaches differ? What's the distinction here?
Well, the biblical perspective emphasizes God's objective reality, that he is who he is apart from our thoughts or feelings. He's there. And he's the one who takes the initiative. You know, he's the one who reveals himself to us. Our faith, on the other hand, it does involve response. You know, our repentance, our belief, the work of the Holy Spirit within us, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is in response to a God who's already there, who's already spoken.
Right, right.
Whereas, you know, the cultural inclination is often to look to our own experience, to our own intuitions as the starting point for how we connect with God. And that can, you know, downplay God's self-disclosure, you know, how he reveals himself to us.
So it's not like our inner experience is irrelevant, but it's a response to something that's already there.
Exactly. And I think Peterson is careful here to say he's not downplaying the importance of the Holy Spirit or the personal encounter we have with faith.
Mm-hmm.
But he is concerned about the danger of starting with ourselves, you know, starting with our own internal state and projecting that onto God rather than allowing God's revelation to shape how we see him.
So we start with what God has shown us.
Right.
Not with what we feel in our hearts.
Exactly.
Okay. This kind of leads into what he calls this skinny belief in God.
Yes.
Right.
Which is kind of this weird thing where you have all these people in the West who claim to believe in God.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to affect their lives much. Like that in God we trust on our money is almost like a symbol of that, right?
Right.
This kind of superficial belief.
Yeah. It's this idea, like you said, that this belief is there. It's widely held, but it doesn't really go that deep. It's not that influential.
Yeah.
And I think Peterson points out, like, you know, most people in the West, you ask them, is there a God? And they say, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they live their lives. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
Like, he calls it practical atheism.
Oh, wow. That's a great term.
Like, it's there, but it doesn't really affect anything.
Yeah. They don't live it out. Okay. So to get at this disconnect a little bit further, Peterson talks about the work of Paul Fries and Christopher Bader.
Right.
They say that how we see God, you know, our individual view of God, is largely shaped by how we answer two questions.
Why?
Does God actively intervene in our lives?
And does God make moral judgments?
Right.
So how do these questions kind of help us understand this cultural view of God that we're talking about?
Well, I think these are two really great questions to ask. Because if you think God is actively involved in the world, that he holds us accountable, you know, to moral standards, that's going to shape how you see him, right? Or how you see your place in the world.
Yeah.
And that's going to be very different from someone who believes that God's kind of distant or doesn't really care about our actions.
Okay.
And I think Peterson would say that our culture is kind of moving more and more towards that second view.
The distant God.
Yeah. More hands off, not as judgmental, more like an observer than an active participant.
This makes sense. Okay, so let's talk about some of the cultural pressures and distortions that Peterson highlights. He says there's this big push towards seeing God as this non-interfering God,
right,
who's just loving and accepting, mm-hmm. not really focused on judgment or correcting us.
Yeah.
It's like we're creating a God in our own image.
Yeah. And one of the things he talks about is how our culture really tries to downplay personal weakness, you know, mm-hmm. and failings. You hear people ask, like, with all the suffering in the world, does God really care about my little mistakes?
Right.
And that kind of thinking can easily lead to a view of God who just kind of overlooks our imperfections
yeah.
and prioritizes our happiness above all else.
Right, right.
And he brings up Joel Osteen's concept of the booster God.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
This idea that God is just like this, you know, waiting to shower us with blessings.
Right.
And if we're not experiencing those blessings, it's our fault because we don't have enough faith to take them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like God's this frustrated benefactor is like, take it already. I'm trying to bless you.
Exactly. Yeah. And Peterson uses that as a, you know, a clear illustration of this kind of cultural trend, you know, a very positive, maybe even simplistic view of God.
Right.
Whose main desire is just our material and emotional well-being.
Okay, so any lack of good things is our fault.
Yuck. Like, we didn't claim it.
Not God's plan or anything.
Well, right, right. It's not because of any other aspect of God's nature, you know?
Right. So what I find really interesting here is Peterson says this isn't that far off from how a lot of teenagers in America see God. Mm-hmm. He talks about Christian Smith's work. He did this big study, and he coined this term, moralistic therapeutic deism. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I think this is super relevant,
yeah.
you know, for understanding, like, the future of faith.
Yeah. I think Smith's research was really eye-opening. And what it revealed was that even teenagers who came from, you know, religious backgrounds still kind of had this core belief system.
Okay.
That God created the world, like, set up this basic moral code.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't really intervene. He's not really active
right.
in our day-to-day lives. You know, he's not necessarily, he's not the Trinity, you know?
Right, right.
And you don't really hear about, like, the incarnation or the resurrection.
Right, those are kind of pushed to the side.
Yeah. It's more like God is there to make us feel good.
Yeah.
And to solve our problems. So religion becomes kind of like a tool for, like, personal happiness.
Yeah, yeah. Make me feel better about life.
Exactly.
Okay? So this is not just some fringe idea. Peterson says, you know, based on Smith's research, this moralistic therapeutic deism, this is like a widely held view.
Right.
In Western culture. It affects young people and adults.
Right.
Ross Douthat that even calls it a pervasive heresy.
Right.
That's a strong word.
It is. And I think he uses that term heresy because he sees this belief as a distortion
okay.
of who God really is. Like, it's a substitute.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like faith, but it's not really.
Yeah, it's like a cheap knockoff.
Right. It's not who God is or what he wants for us.
Okay, interesting. Peterson then goes on to talk about what he calls the American paradox.
Hmm.
And he says it's not just in America. This is all over the West.
Right.
And increasingly in parts of Asia that are becoming more prosperous.
Yeah.
It's this idea that we have all this wealth. We have so much stuff.
Right.
We have more choices, more opportunities than ever before.
Yeah.
But we're not happier.
Right.
There's more depression, more anxiety, more people feeling alone.
And even back in the 1830s, Alexis de Tocqueville, when he was looking at America, he noticed this. He called it a strange melancholy.
Wow.
That even though there was all this wealth and prosperity growing, there was still this underlying sadness.
Yeah, we see it even today. You talk to therapists, and they'll tell you that they're seeing all these young people who, you know, on the surface, they have everything.
Right.
But they're empty. They're lonely. They don't feel like their lives have any purpose.
Yeah.
And this is even with all the connection we have through the internet.
Exactly. So you have this gap, right? You have this external success, but internal emptiness.
Right.
And people try to fill that gap, right? And that's where these distorted views of God can become appealing.
Okay.
Because you can have this booster God promising you more stuff, you know?
More of what's not fulfilling you anyway.
Exactly. Or you can have this therapist God who just makes you feel good.
But doesn't answer the bigger questions.
Right.
Okay, Peterson goes on to say that this abundance, all this wealth and stuff, it can lead to a sense of entitlement.
Right, yeah.
That affects how we see God.
Yeah, because we start to expect things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we deserve to be happy.
Right.
We deserve to be healthy. And that carries over to our relationship with God.
So he becomes like our cosmic butler.
Yeah, like a concierge God, yeah. always there to meet our needs.
Right, just a source of endless blessings. And he's critical of the health and wealth gospel, especially in this context.
Right, because the health and wealth gospel really thrives in a culture of abundance and entitlement. You know, this idea that, like, if you have enough faith, you'll be rich.
Right, you'll be healthy.
And Peterson rightly points out that that's a very Western idea, you know?
Mm.
It doesn't translate well to other parts of the world where people don't have that same level of, you know, material privilege.
Okay, so on the other hand, when we experience loss, you know, when things are hard, maybe relationships fall apart, we're disappointed, we're lonely.
Yeah.
That can lead us to see God in another distorted way.
Right.
We start to see him as this therapist, capital T.
Right.
You know, someone we go to just for comfort.
Yeah, just to feel better.
For healing, for inspiration.
Right.
And we could even bring that expectation to church.
Right.
We want a comfortable, easy experience.
Yeah, just a break from the week.
A break from the hard stuff.
Exactly. Not necessarily a place to grow or be challenged.
Yeah, just feel good.
Yeah.
Okay, Peterson then shifts gears a bit, and he starts talking about this change in how we understand morality.
Right.
There's been this shift away from the idea of a transcendent holy God who sets the rules.
Right.
To a more immanent, loving God who just cares about our well-being.
Right. Like, we've moved from a moral universe to a psychological one.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And at the center of this shift is the rise of the self. You know, this idea that each person has this inner core of unique experiences and intuitions.
Okay.
And that becomes the source of truth.
Yeah.
And morality.
Unbound by any external authority.
Right. It's all about me, my feelings, my truth.
Yeah. And Peterson even traces this back to the counterculture of the 1960s.
Right, because that was a time when people were really questioning authority.
Yeah.
And traditional values. And there was this huge emphasis on self-discovery.
Yeah.
Like, find yourself. Be true to yourself.
It's all about me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this era gave us terms like individualism, narcissism.
Right.
The me generation.
Right.
It was a huge shift.
It was. And Peterson talks about some books and movies that really capture the spirit, like The Bonfire of the Vanities.
Oh, yeah.
Wall Street.
Right. Greed is good.
Exactly. It's all about self-interest.
Yeah. No sense of shared responsibility.
Right.
And this is where Wade Clark Ruth's observation about the boomer generation comes in.
Yeah. Right? This is a perfect fit.
Yeah. This idea that they separate spirit from religion.
Right. They want the feeling.
Yeah.
The experience.
But not the rules.
Right. Not the institution.
Not the community. And that's where you get this whole spiritual but not religious thing.
Exactly. It's a preference for personalized spirituality.
Okay.
Over organized religion with its doctrines and rules.
Right. And Peterson says Oprah Winfrey, you know, with her massive media empire, she really capitalized on this shift.
Yeah. She's like the queen of self-empowerment.
Right.
You know, find your inner strength,
yeah.
Your best self.
Right.
And she often presented a view of God that's found within yourself.
Okay.
Like, you have the answers. You are divine.
Yeah.
And salvation becomes this kind of like therapy.
Right. Just feel good about yourself.
Exactly. And even consumption, like buying things, becomes a right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this retreat into the self, it has consequences.
Yes, it does.
Robert Nisbet, he talked about this decline in community.
Right.
Rise of self-interest.
Yeah.
And Peterson even says it affects our political discourse. Like,
yeah.
He contrasts the Lincoln-Douglas debates.
Yeah.
You know, those were substantive.
Right.
With what we see today, it's just
entertainment.
Yeah.
Superficial.
Like Neil Postman said in Amusing Ourselves to Death.
Right. Exactly. We're so focused on being entertained that we've lost the ability to have real conversations.
Yeah. And then Oz Guinness comes in with this idea of free people suicide.
Right.
Which is a pretty intense concept. This idea that when we turn away from virtue, you know, from doing what's good and right,
mm-hmm.
and we just focus on ourselves, that's more dangerous than any outside enemy.
Yeah. Because virtue is what holds a society together.
Right. It's not just laws. It's like the glue.
Exactly. And the self-oriented culture is eating away at that glue.
Yeah. And then to make matters worse, there's this postmodern idea that everyone has their own version of reality.
Right.
So there's no shared understanding.
Right.
And we just end up with this superficial recycling of the past.
Yeah.
Like what Peterson calls kitsch.
Yeah. It's like we can't create anything new.
Mm-hmm.
We just keep repeating the same old things, but in a shallow way.
Okay, so Peterson goes on to talk about how all this leads to this blurring of boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Like, after the 1960s, there's this increasing disappearance of the distinction between soul and body.
Right.
And we start to see humans as just biological machines.
Right.
And that has all sorts of consequences.
Yeah.
Like, for example, the rise of arguments for animal rights.
Right. Because if we're all just animals, then why do humans have special status? Yeah. Why are we the only ones with rights?
Then he talks about the shifts around gender and family and how our understanding of those things has changed.
Right.
And he calls the increasing acceptance of homosexuality a massive social experiment.
Yeah.
That could have negative consequences down the road.
And it's part of this broader trend of redefining fundamental social norms with uncertain implications.
Right. And then there's this blurring of the lines between humans and computers. We see this a lot in science fiction, like Blade Runner or The Matrix.
Right.
And it makes us question, you know, if there is this external God, does that even matter in a world where AI is becoming so powerful?
Yeah, it's like the material world is becoming so dominant that the spiritual seems less and less relevant.
Okay. So we see this recurring theme. The external God is gone.
Mm.
And it's replaced by this internal God, this God within.
Right. And the problem with that, Peterson says, is that it leads to a breakdown of objective morality.
Okay.
Like right and wrong becomes subjective.
Yeah. It's all relative.
Exactly. It's up to each individual to decide.
And life becomes this.
Free for all.
Yeah. Good and evil are just two sides of the same coin.
And ultimately, Peterson says, when the external God dies, the self tries to take his place.
Mm.
But the self can't handle that.
Right. It's not big enough.
It's not. So we end up with a loss of meaning.
And a sense that reality itself is crumbling.
Right. Like in that book, Brave New World.
Yeah, where everyone's just
numb.
Distracted.
Controlled.
And Peterson makes this interesting observation about how all this cultural anxiety, this sense of dread, it comes out in our movies.
Yeah, like horror movies.
Right. They tap into this feeling that something's deeply wrong.
Yeah. Like we're on the wrong track.
Okay. So the big question for the church is, how do we respond to all of this?
Right.
How do we engage with this modern world without watering down our faith?
Right. Without just offering feel-good solutions.
Yeah. What Peterson calls little therapeutic nostrums.
Right. We need to offer something more substantial.
The great thoughts about God.
Exactly. The truth.
And that brings us back to this foundational truth that God is objective.
Right.
He's real. He exists outside of us.
Yeah.
We don't create him. He creates us.
And we need to conform to him.
Right. Not the other way around.
And we come to know him through his word.
Not just through our feelings.
Right.
Okay, so Peterson ends by emphasizing that God is both holy and loving.
Right, and that's a concept that our culture often tries to split apart.
Yeah, we want the love without the holiness.
Right, we want the nice God without the scary God.
Yeah, but Peterson says we need to see them together.
Yeah, they're inseparable.
And that's where we find real joy.
It's in the unity of God's holy love.
Mm. So, to wrap things up, the big takeaway for you listening is that our culture has a huge impact on how we see God.
Right.
And it often leads to distortions.
Yeah.
So we need to be aware of those influences.
We can think critically about them.
And ask ourselves, are we seeing God as he really is?
Or are we just projecting our own desires onto him?
And I think that's the challenge Peterson leaves us with.
It is, to really grapple with the implications of believing in a God who calls us outward versus a God we think we can find just within ourselves.
Right.
How would our lives change?
If we embraced the God who has revealed himself.
It's a question worth pondering.
It is.
It really is.
Thanks for joining us. This has been The Deep Dive.
Yeah, thanks for listening.